Welcome to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, April 26, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. This week, a look at our exclusive series on intrusion defense. Jay Heiser, VP with research firm Gartner, talks about reaction to his column on the InfoSecurity community's military mindset in this week's Security Spotlight. And Verizon apparently fails to learn the high cost of aggressive spam filtering. But first, our top story. After fixing a bunch of Internet Explorer vulnerabilities and re-releasing a flawed Windows patch out of cycle, Microsoft may now have to contend with a new security hole in its browser. The latest security hole was discovered by researcher Mikhail Zelusky, whose analysis was posted on the full disclosure list hosted and sponsored by Danish vulnerability clearinghouse Secunia. Secunia rated the flaw highly critical, saying it's caused by an error in how certain sequences of nested object HTML tags are processed. Attackers can exploit it to launch malicious code and corrupt memory by tricking a user into visiting a malicious website. To mitigate the threat, Secunia recommended web surfers avoid untrusted sites. The new flaw came to light the same day Microsoft reissued a patch out of cycle to deal with ongoing problems with one of the software updates it released April 11th. After fielding several complaints and conducting its own investigation, Microsoft confirmed problems with MS-06015, a critical update released on Patch Tuesday to fix a Windows Explorer remote code execution vulnerability involving the way the program handles COM objects. Next, a look at our exclusive series on intrusion defense. In February, SearchSecurity.com surveyed 307 IT professionals from a variety of industries regarding their intrusion defense programs. The series is now running on our website and is in three parts. The first story looks at how IT pros define a good intrusion defense. Respondents said the best programs not only thwart insiders with bad computing habits, but also the spyware and other malware they let in. When asked what aspect of their intrusion defense tools they would most like improved, 35.6% of respondents said they want better detection and prevention of insider threats, such as employees abusing policy and downloading proprietary information onto flash drives. More than 32% said they want better spyware prevention, fewer false positives, and the ability to separate serious attacks from network noise. The second story looks at security administrators' challenges to getting that perfect intrusion defense. Asked about the non-technical obstacles that get in the way of intrusion defense, 50% said upper management support is either a problem or a significant problem. A lack of employee training was an obstacle for 56% of respondents, and the vast majority, 71%, said cash constraints are either a problem or a significant problem. The third story looks at how a majority of IT shops rely on Cisco and Symantec for intrusion defense, while others are just as happy using free open-source tools. The overall responses suggest that while Cisco and Symantec are among the top intrusion defense vendors, IT professionals aren't depending on any single provider. Asked which vendors' intrusion detection prevention products they use, nearly 43% said Cisco, 34% said Symantec, 30% said Snort and other freeware, close to 26% said McAfee and Microsoft, and almost 20% said Checkpoint and SourceFire. To access the series, go to searchsecurity.com/news. And now for this week's Security Spotlight. Gartner Vice President Jay Heiser recently wrote a column for SearchSecurity.com and Information Security Magazine that took the business world to task for relying too much on the defense community for direction on information security. Heiser wrote that the commercial sector is often more successful in developing solid security technology than the defense community, which, he said, often devises solutions that are too impractical to work. The column was roundly criticized by our readers, compelling us to publish two reader columns offering up alternative viewpoints. Jay Heiser is with us this morning to discuss that reaction. Jay, welcome to Security Wire Weekly.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad for the opportunity to speak.
Jay, you've had a chance to read the responses to your column. Have they caused you to change your position at all?
No, I don't think so. And in a way, they've just strengthened my conviction.
As both our reader columns noted, the military often operates in an environment where security breaches don't just lead to loss of data or profit, but loss of life, meaning there's no margin for error. To play devil's advocate, isn't that what InfoSec pros should aspire to?
It's really a difference in priority. The as you said, the military and also the intelligence agencies put the premium on controlling information outflow. The course of an entire war can be determined by one information leak, and it's very rarely the case in a commercial organization. While they may indeed have some highly sensitive information that would be damaging if it leaked, it's different in kind from what the military deals with.
Now, it seems like readers were especially critical of you for not giving due credit to the military's innovations over the years regarding security. What would your response to them be on that point?
Well, I have revisited that, and I've been racking my brain to think of some innovation today that we can thank the military process for having provided us. Yeah. I think it's important to remember that multi-user operating systems had an authentication process. They had access control long before the military became involved in setting the standards that resulted in essentially what we have today in both the Unix and the Windows operating environment, a C2 security model. Perhaps an intrusion detection is the one area where the military research budget has resulted in some commercial products that we can actually use.
Sure. Now, finally, in a nutshell, in terms of strategic guidance, what should security pros emulate about military security, and what should they seek to improve or differ on?
Well, I think the most important lesson to take from the military model is the classification model. And I'm not saying that we should follow that exact model, but I'm saying we should follow that pattern. This goes back to the 1850s and became highly developed in the 20th century, the idea that you cannot protect everything to the same degree, so you decide which things need to be protected to higher levels. And that's a very powerful starting point. Really, it's the only practical way to optimize your information risk mitigation effort. That's a model that needs to be emulated, but it's not a model that needs to be copied. We need to address the integrity and the availability to the same extent that we address the secrecy. Mm-hmm. And that's really something that's being done today by the military. I'm a proponent of the NSA's InfoSec assessment methodology, and that's a method that made a very explicit attempts to break away from the past. It avoids the quantification quagmire of things like the annualized loss expectancy. It avoids the data secrecy, confidentiality, classification hierarchy, and it takes a very holistic approach to all the different factors that affect information, the availability, the integrity, and the confidentiality.
Again, Jay Heisner from Gartner. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Finally, an item from the TechDirt blog on how Verizon continues to pay a price for aggressive spam blocking. 3 weeks ago, the blog noted, Verizon agreed to settle a class action suit brought against the company for being too aggressive in blocking spam. Late in 2004, Verizon implemented a massive block list that apparently blocked many emails from outside the country and offered no way for legitimate senders to circumvent the restrictions. This angered some people who tried to use their Verizon email addresses to communicate with colleagues in Europe and suddenly found they couldn't do so. Enough people were annoyed that Philadelphia law firm Conn, Swift & Graff filed suit against Verizon on behalf of a disgruntled DSL customer. 3 weeks ago, Verizon reportedly offered to settle the suit in a deal where affected customers could receive up to $49 if they failed to receive legitimate email from Asia or Europe between October 2004 and May 2005. The lawyers who handled the case apparently asked for $1.4 million. Apparently, TechDirt said, what the lawyers agreed to hasn't filtered back to those in charge of handling the spam filters, because the company is again being accused of turning on an overly aggressive spam filter, leading to users apparently not getting important, legitimate emails. And that's Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. Don't forget to read our news each day as it breaks at searchsecurity.com/news, where you can sign up for our daily email newsletter or our RSS feed.